whether that qualifies as making a veses. And we saw that in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin that kvitza, like the opinion of Tosis and others, that kvitza does not qualify as a veses. However, if you do it in a murkav, so then in such a case, we saw in Sif Yud Ches that the halacha is that it does combine. We saw that there is something that could be koveya veses alone, and that is a veses haguf. Veses haguf and veses of kvitzas are two different things. And veses haguf, if a woman yawns three times and she sees, so that we saw last time in Sif Yud Ches, that could serve as a veses. And then finally, we saw the convergence of the two. What was the convergence of the two? We discussed, how do you look at achila shum? We saw that the svara of veses of kvitzos is that it's an exterior and random event, and that's not internal enough to have halachic significance. So when it comes to veses haguf, according to everybody, how we paskin la halacha, that does qualify as a veses. When it comes to kvitzos and shulchan aruch, how do we paskin? That's external, it's not internal, and then it doesn't qualify as a veses. However, when it comes to achila shum, so on the one hand it starts externally, on the other hand we concluded last time with two opinions in the Ramah, in Sif Chav Gimel, whether achila shum could qualify in of itself to create a veses, and we said we're going to discuss Be'ezer Hashem in detail what that tells us in terms of birth control pills and vestos. What we still have to discuss is one more point about the veses hamurkav. So last time we saw that even if you say veses kvitzos does not qualify to create a veses, however, if she jumps on a particular day, so then in such a case, in Sif Yud Ches, we learn that such a woman has a veses. So topic number one sends us back to Simin Kuf Pei Dalet. We skipped it when we did Kuf Pei Dalet because it wasn't understandable then. Now Be'ezer Hashem will be able to understand it. Simin Kuf Pei Dalet Sif Yud Beis, the Mechaber writes the following. Hayulav veses liyamim, ulaveses mivestos haguf, kegon kfitza. If a woman has what we call veses hamorkav. So the reason why the Mechaber brings it up over there is in Kuf Pei Dalet, the Mechaber discussed, made reference to Ona Beinonim. So here again, the Mechaber talks about Ona Beinonim. However, we didn't know what, when the Talmidim even correctly, when we started, said, could we explain what Vestos are? So we weren't ready to understand what this Nekudas HaMachlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Shach at the time was. Now, Be'ezer Hashem, we're ready. So the Shulchan Aruch says like this, the Shulchan Aruch says that if she has this Vestos HaMorkav Kagon Kvitzo Keotziba, Kivon Shehaveses Talui B'maisa, since the veses is tali on a maisa, emer lo kafza velo rasa. It could happen that she won't jump and she won't see. In other words, her day 28 is going to come and she won't see. Avol chosheshes lo ona beinanis, but we have to be chosesh for an ona beinanis, shehi shloshim yom. Presumably, this applies whether her veses was that she would jump on day 28 and see, or jump on day 33 and see. Says the Mechaber that even though we're going to paskin in Kuf Pei Tes Yud Ches, that there's such a thing called Veses HaKvitzos, however, that Veses HaKvitzos is not the regular Veses. And we know that if a woman has a Veses of Aflaga, if she sees any 25 days, so she doesn't have to be Choshesh for Ona Beinonis. Zok the Mechaber, however, if you have a veses hamurkav of kvitza, so then in such a case, the halacha is that she still has to be choshesh for ona beinus. What does that mean, she still has to be choshesh for ona beinus? When it comes 30 days later from the day that she normally jumps and sees, 30 days later, you have to be choshesh for that ona beinus. Oh. Now, notice the lashon of the Mechaber. The Mechaber's lashon is ulaveses mivestos haguf. What is the Mechaber discussing? When the Mechaber says, this is our rule, Kuf Pei Dalet, topic number one, Kuf Pei Dalet Yud Beis is telling us that we're choshesh by veses haguf, adayin Koshishin la'onim beinunis. That's our rule. That rule that the Mechaber says seems to be talking about Vesa Saguf. What generally is Vesa Saguf? What is Vesa Saguf generally? Piyuk. One would think that the Mechaber is saying that 30 days after her Vesas Haguf Im Yamin, we need to add, of course, that we're talking about Vesas Haguf Im Yamin, that we're talking about a case in where she sees B'murka, 30 days later from then, she has to be Choshesh for the Ona Benin. That's the simple reading of the Mechaber. And that's how the Shach understood the Mechaber, and the Shach goes to town. Says the Shach in Sif Lamed Beis, Dvarim Elu, Heim Alpi Shekosev Beis Yosef. Avol Be'emes Sarech Li'iyun. Divadai, Im Yesh Leveses Le'yomim U'Leveses Mivestos Haguf, Choshesh La'olam Levesta. We're only Choshesh for the Vesta. What is the Veses? That means the day that she sees and she jumps. If she doesn't jump on that day, then you don't see. And you're not Choshesh. And there's no reason to be choshesh for ona beinanis. V'lo shayach leimar emar lo rasa. V'ein tzrich halachosh lo ona beinanis. You don't have to be choshesh for ona beinanis. Kiva the yesh leveses. Argues the Shach. The Shach's argument is that veses hamurkav leguf, that's what we're discussing. But just let me finish the whole idea, and it'll be my pleasure to take you. Vesas hamurkav leguf, says the Shach, is a regular Veses ragil. And what are you choshesh for? If on the day that is appointed that she, when she yawns, she sees blood, so then when she yawns, you have to be choshesh. But outside of that, you're not choshesh for anything else. Why would you be choshesh for an ona beinanis? Let me keep on going a little bit, and then I'll take your question. And this is what it appears in Sof Sif Yutes. What did we see in the halachos of Veses Haguf? We said that if she doesn't jump, we're not choshesh for anything. We're only choshesh for that day, the Veses Hamurkav, that day and when she jumps. We're only choshesh for a veses. Any clarification questions? So far, so good?
Yeah?
Michael, go ahead.
Rabbi keeps switching between veses and kfitzah.
Oh, it's not me. It's the Shulchan Aruch and the Shach. Comes along the Shach. And the Shach says, wait a second. If you look at the Makoros, and if you look in the Rishonim say you're Choshesh for only Veses, for an Ona Beinanis, they're only talking about Kfitzos. If it's a Veses Hamurkav of Kfitzos, but not a Veses Haguf, let's continue on and see further in the Shach. V'hamechaber lehedya, skipping down two lines. The biyeshla vessel yom v'vessas haguf ain't tzricha lachu shul v'vessas hachodesh. You don't have to be choshev v'vessas hachodesh. Brackets by maybe yom tzeshach l'shitas v'vessas hachodesh and on a beinus are the exact same thing. V'hachi mashma pshat re'a poskim besimikuf peites. The biyeshla vessas haguf liyom yudun dina mamish. Ki yeshla vessas liyomim below vessas haguf. You only you choshesh on that vessas hayomim and you're not choshesh for on a beinus. Aye, there are Rishonim that say this. Says the Shach. The Shach goes on. V'chein mashma b'rava rajva gufei shlo kosev din zeh elagabe kfitza. The Mechaber is right when he's talking about, as Michael alluded to, when he's talking about kfitza. But when it comes to guf, then the Mechaber is wrong. So Vesas Hamurkav Leguf is Vesas Ragil Ve'ein Choshishin La'ona Beinanis. Then we're not going to be Choshish for the Ona Beinanis. Why? Because then it's a regular Vesas. However, Vesas Hamurkav Lekfitzos, then the Mechaber is right. then choshesh in la'ona beinanim. Fascinating issue. So this shach is a tour de force, where the shach says that the Beis Yosef keeps on interchanging between Vesas of Kvitzos and Vesas Hakuf. And look in the words again of the Mechaber. The Mechaber is the one who himself did that. Because the Mechaber says, starts off, Hayla Vesa Yomel Vesas, Mi Vesas Hakuf, Kigon Kvitza. Ah, says the Shach, a beautiful Svara. Is Vesas a Kvitza alone? A Chshash? No! But a Vesas of Piyuk alone is a Chshash. So what do we see? We see that a Vesas Hamurkov with Kvitzos is a weaker Vesas than all other Vestos. When it comes to Vesas Haguf with Yomim, that's an ironclad Vesas. We happen to be Choshesh for Kvitzos with Yomim, but it's not the same level of strength. Hence, you're going to be Choshesh for an Ona Beinanis. That's the sheet of the Shach. What does the Shulchan Aruch hold? What's the Svar of the Shulchan Aruch? Presumably, the Shulchan Aruch holds as follows. You're right, Shach, when it comes to Kvitzos alone. But once we paskin in Sif Yud Ches, in Kuf Pei Tes, that the Halacha is that Veses of Kvitzos is Murkav, that means that if on day 25 she jumps and she sees, she could be a Koveya of Veses. So then it enters into the same league as Vesas Apiyuk. And if the Rajva said, black on white, that by Vesas of Kvitzos, you're Choshesh for Ona Beinanis, when it's a Kvitza, that's a Murkav on a particular day, so then, just like you're going to be Choshesh when it comes to Kvitzos, so too you're going to be Choshesh when it comes to Piyuk as well. Any clarification that necessary? Good? Sure. What's that? No, Shulchan Aruch is Cholek. Shulchan Aruch disagrees with the Shach. According to Shulchan Aruch, you're Choshesh for Ona Beinanis of a Murk of both of Kvitzos and Piyuk, while according to the Shach, you're only Choshesh for Bein, because he says Ulevesas mi Vestos Haguf.
No, we call Kvitza.
That's how the Shach understood it. And the Shach points out that the Beis Yosef is Mashma the way he understood that the Mechaber had learned. What Rav Yaakov is saying is maybe you could reread the Shulchan Aruch and say the Shulchan Aruch is only talking about a Veses of Kvitza, and then you're Choshesh for Bona Beinus and not for the other. You mean Kosif Yutes?
Yeah.
So the Shulchan Aruch there would say, I already told you that Ona Beinus is different than Kuf Pei Dalet. I understand what you're asking. Good. I understand, but I think that's it. Did I make a bracha before?
I don't remember ever making.
I didn't. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim melech haolam she'hakol nehiyeh bedvaro.
So the Pi HaShach, what would come out is, since he holds that Ona Beinanis is going to be the Yom HaChodesh anyway, so whether it's a Vesas Murkav of Kvitzos or it's a Vesas Murkav LeGuf, you're just going to have the Chashash of that day either way. And really the only Nafkamina that's going to come out in the Shach over Jubim Mechalik is a Flaga Murkav. Guf versus Kvitzos, Lahalacha, that's right.
Correct. Yes, Raf.
I don't fully get that. The Shach says that Rukhni Choshesh for Ona Beinanis only by Vesas HaKvitzos Murkav and by Vesas and by regular Vesas HaGuf, even not Murkav?
No. When it comes, the only time the Shach says we're Choshesh for Ona Beinanis is when it comes to Kvitzos that's on a Murkav. What does that mean? So let's spell out exactly what that case is. That case would be in very, very practical terms. According to the Shach, if on day 25 a woman jumps and sees, right? She jumps and sees. So then 25 days later, so the rule is that if she jumps, we have to be choshesh that she's going to see, right? What happens? Are we now choshesh from day 25 also for an Ona Beinanis?
Assuming she didn't see.
On 25, yeah. Are you now choshesh for Ona Beinanis? That's the question. Are we now choshesh for Ona Beinanis? So here, that question revolves around how strongly you look at the the vestas of jumping and seeing. Generally, when it comes to all vestas, we're not choshesh for an ona beinus. We're generally not. But on the other hand, jumping is a weak vestas. Yes, she was a vestas. It's a weak vestas. Because jumping alone is not a vestas. So the Rashba expressly writes that since jumping alone is not a vestas, even though her vestas was jumping with 25 days, nevertheless, we're choshesh for ona beinonis. The question now becomes, do we extend it not only to jumping and seeing, but piyuk and seeing? Do we say the same thing applies to piyuk and seeing as well? In other words, same thing. Every 25 days she does piyuk and she sees. That happened again. This is a vestas kavua, as Michael pointed out. This is a vestas kavua. Both are vestas kavuas. Now, do you have to be choshesh not only for day 25 when she does piyuk? Do you also have to be choshesh for an ona beinonis? That's the question. And here, the Shach says there's a fundamental difference between piyuk and kfisa. Why? Because piyuk itself stands as a vestas alone.
And if it would not work of that,
we discuss on Baruch Hashem, you know, Sameach with your brother-in-law, so that we discuss, and I'm glad you're asking, because we need a review, everybody needs a review. When it comes to kfitzos, the halacha is that kfitzos is a, can't be kovei aveses, and piyuk can. And yeah, everybody agrees with that. That's how we paskin in halacha. Right. Beautiful. Okay. So this is the machlokas between the mechaber and the shach. The shach has a very, very strong svara, and that is topic number one. How do we paskin la halacha? It would seem to me that Svardim generally follow the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, even though Rav Yaakov wanted to argue that you could argue that in the words of the Shulchan Aruch itself it sounds like the Shach, and Nidmeli that Ashkenazim follow the argument of the Shach. Okay, now, topic number two. This is a very important Halacha L'maisa topic. So let's take a look at our booklets. Somebody have an extra booklet?
Yeah, we'll step up.
Okay. I have them. Topic number two is Achilas Shum. We saw that there's a Machlokis Rishonim of whether Achilas Shum is enough to create a Vestas. How do Ashkenazim Paskim? So let's again read the words of the Ramah. The Ramah writes back into Kuf Pei Tes Chav Gimel, Achla Shum V'rasa, Achla Batzel V'rasa, Achla Pilpilin V'rasa, Yesham Shekav Lavesis Liros Al Yidei Kol Achilas Dvar Mcham, Yesham Shekol Mashitir Yidei Maichel Dina Kamo Shitir Yidei Kfitza, which, as Rav Rafi reviewed with us, is not something that could be Kovei Veses, Ushar Maitse Shuot, Shemikri Ri Yidei Onis, V'enu Kovas Veses Elim Hayomim. Last time we suggested that shum is a fascinating thing. On the one hand, kfitzos is not kovei aveses. On the other hand, piyuk does create aveses. Kfitzos is entirely external. Piyuk, we explained, is entirely internal. What does that mean? That what happens is that when a woman's hormonal system of the period begins, then she yawns. Then she sneezes. Then she passes gas. Then she has cramps. If that's so it's the bleed. It's not that there's an onus, as we saw last time, that caused the bleeding, but rather there's something internal that's taking place that's causing the bleeding. Okay, so now when it comes to shum, on the one hand, it was something from the outside. On the other hand, the Bali Tosos and the Mordechai and the Rush all hold that when it comes to the Achilas Shum, the Achilas Shum initiates an internal process, in other words, that there's something that begins in her clock in the inside which brings out the dam. So then, you can look at Achilas Shum in two ways. On the one hand, it's something that's coming from the outside. On the other hand, it's similar to the process of the regular period with piyuk, where the body initiates something, and the body internally is creating Yitzias HaDam. V'yeshom shedino kevasa shetira al yidei mikra shebegufa v'kovaso so afilu b'yom below yomim shavim. And there's some say that it has a vesas like gufa, and it would have the ability to create a vesas, and this is how we seem to follow, that it would have the ability to create a vesas even if it's not a murkav. In other words, by itself, achilas shum would work. Very good. It's the third opinion extending the first opinion. It's extending the first shita and saying, not only do we hold that it works, but it even works as a standing vesas alone. Standing vesas alone. The Radvaz was asked the following shaila, and now we get into birth control pills. Take a look. We're going to do this slowly because I think there are a few important things. It's a very, it is also a hot topic. Obviously, birth control in terms of Miniyat HaRayon is a totally separate shaila and a very, very important and complex shaila, which has many, many ofanim to it. There are times that the Gemara tells us that's a mitzvah, and then the times that the Gemara tells us that better a person put themselves into sakana than for birth control. So that's something that that requires a lot of she'elas chacham, and that's not the topic for today. The topic that we're talking about, let's even stay away from a married couple for a moment. The topic that we're discussing over here, let's say, is a kala. Often, a kala will take birth control pills in order to regulate her period, to be assured that the night of their marriage, her period won't be in its flow, so that they won't have chuppas nida. So the Radvaz has the following shaila. She'alta mimeni odia chadati b'miktas nashim sheshoshos mashke o shared dvarim la'akvot vestas asaro esrim yom im otur l'baylo lovo aleha A woman had, let's draw this out on the board. A woman had her, let's say she's, let's talk about a kala. Let's talk about a kala. And let's say that a kala has, normally is expecting her vesas. She sees approximately every 28 days. She's about 28 days. And her wedding night is 29 days after her period, after her last period. Which means that the odds are that she's going to see the day before. Okay? Or, could even happen on the 29th. And what does she do? She takes a pill that the doctor says is going to postpone her period, and she's going to end up having her period only 38 days after her last period, which, of course, is postponing her vesas. Now, if it's the night of her wedding that she's expecting her period, first of all, it's the 28th, does she have to do a bedika beforehand, right? She has to do a bedika, and there's a chance that when you do a bedika is a risky business. So if she does a bedika, it might come out not good. That's on the 28th. And the 29th, then there's a chiyuv. There's a chiyuv prisha. Oh, so what does the Radvaz say? Now the Radvaz notice is talking about a potion, that there was some potion that they would give that already in the time of the Radvaz, a few hundred years ago, worked. He says, Kvar Yadata, he starts off talking about number one, do you have to be poresh the entire Zman of the Riyad? And we follow those Rishon who say that you only have to be poresh on the first time. And he concludes the first paragraph, first word on the line, is im avar. He says, if she's tested this potion three times, if she tried it three times and it holds back the vesta, then it's a chazaka. Wow! So there's chemistry over body, which we live day in and day out all the time, and that is that if she does this three times, and it shows, the potion has shown that if it has the ability to push off, that she doesn't see at a regular period, so then in such a case, ubahop shito shumuta lavo aleha, it's pashut that he is allowed to have relations with her. Rav Sabalovsky Shlita, I photocopied Rav Sabalovsky's sefer. I saw this later on, and I forgot to put it in the packet. On page 241 in his sefer, Sadlovsky summarizes the sugya in one paragraph, and he quotes the Radvaz.
Yes. If it worked three times.
Yes. If it worked three times to postpone, so then now you could be, you don't have to.
Chazaka.
Right.
The
chazaka.
First time, she still has to do the checking and do the pre-shot.
Correct. Correct.
Does that have to be a particular day that it goes to?
No, not Dafka.
Then why is it not a Vesa Shina Kavua now? Like she has to be.
Right. So that's the Chiddush. So he goes on to say. Beautiful. He goes on to be ma'arich about that. Nachon, if you take a look at in the next paragraph, u'mistabrili. Good, good. So Rav Sabalovsky quotes this Radvaz, and he correctly says, interestingly, the Radvaz was asked a related question involving an analogous situation in which a woman's cycle was regulated by her ingestion of a specific drink. The Radvaz ruled that if the drink effectively regulated the woman's cycle, then she is considered to have a ves kavua in all respects. If it effectively regulated, then she's considered to have a Vesas Kavua. Now, first of all, Yesh Lozun, the Radvaz, we're going to see, the Chut HaShani has a slightly different read of the Radvaz. So I want to tell you that in discussing this, Rav Nevensal Shlita, Rav Nevensal agreed with Rav Sabalovsky's Psak. However, as we're going, and the Shevet Alevi also, in one place, comes out like Rav Sabalovsky as well. However, I think you could be Ma'orer that due to brevity, but this is the challenge of when you try to take a sugya and compact it into a paragraph or two. So who can notice the leap over here at first glance, Rav Sabalovsky's psak, and basically the same thing that taking place in our yeshiva took place in Bnei Brak. It was the same thing that happened between Rav Karelitz and Rav Vosner as well. Who can notice the leap over here? That's not, it's true, the Radbaz did discuss the Shaila, but here, Rav Sabalovsky doesn't mention that the Radbaz says that you need three times. So I'm positive Rav Sabalovsky didn't miss that. It is nichlal in one word over here, that if the drink effectively regulated, so he's But there's a leap now. If all you have is a Radvaz, so what does the Radvaz say? You have to be Mafsik. Is there a Makor in Mishnah, Gemara, Rishonim, early Achronim, late Achronim, that says that any potion has the ability to change a Vesas once? The answer is no. The Radvaz doesn't say that. The Radvaz doesn't entirely say that. What Rav Sabalovsky Shlita is doing is he comes to the same conclusion that Rav Nevensal Shlita came to, but it needs to be emphasized that that's not what the Radvaz says. The Radvaz does not say
that's
that?
That's not what he means.
You think that's what he means? I think that probably is what he means. And I would even say more. I would bet in the Shiurim he spelled it out. But when you're writing a book and you only have a certain amount of pages to cram everything in, then that's the challenge of Kitzer books, and that's why there's still a need for a smicha program.
But this is not a psak.
What?
Everything. This is not a psak, as it appears.
This book is one of the most beautiful, most important books that came out of our yeshiva in the last 10 years. So we're mechuyev to relate to it. But I'm just being mayor as far as that point of the as far as what's going on. Oh, so now comes along the Tzitz Eliezer, and Tzitz Eliezer quotes the Radvaz. And he comes to a very different conclusion than Rav Sabalovsky. They're all starting from the same Radvaz, but they come to different conclusions. Take a look at the Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Yud Gimel, Simen Kuf Gimel. V'zoz hela halacha, hela Radvaz, b'divrei tshuvas haramasa. Dim ovar kol zman avesukuli amma meteres. Vim nista, this is our line that we're interested in. Vim nista, dibar maskul v'zoz. Vim nista zoz hamashke tzlat zimni. And what if you would not be machzik? So the Tzitz Eliezer claims in the Radvaz The mistaber mutter de mutter lavola. Chad the dikris lavola shetang less lamin. Atora el medrabanan. Umizat tam lo asu el bia. Avo sharker es mutter. Vesuda fil machmerim yodu benidin don. The bishlam kishol reach mesakiv lo siba yesh lachush lo lekoli meshech avesis. Al mesakiv de amashkish yesh betiva lufopuluzi yesh mesach alav. Kemoshe mol yom rishin yol sharim meshech avesis. Vesusha kvar nisu adavar zeh pam rabo sharnoshim vahol. Hilkach. Yifrosh menu ayom rishon shel aveses umuteres achar kach umikol makom tzricha bedika kodem tashmish. Waldenberg says you still have to be parish the first day and you have to do a bedika afterwards. That's how he summarizes. I didn't do the second paragraph of the Radvaz. That's how he summarizes what the Radvaz's position is after in the second paragraph, where the Radvaz goes on and says, but if you weren't machzik, you're going to have to be machmir, and then you'll have to be parish, and therefore you have to be parish at night. And the big nafkamina, in our dramatic case of the Kala, is that the Kala and her husband will not be able to have relations that night, even though the birth control pill has been begun to be used, unless you're machzik it three times. Yes, Yisrael, and then Ramesh.
Can you just repeat the
Sure. Rav Oldenburg says that the halacha would be that if you haven't proven that you've pushed off the vessels three times with the birth control pill, then in such a case you have to be choshesh that the first day, and the day that you expect the period to come, and the next day they could have relations with the bedika.
That's like the Radvaz?
And he claims that's the Radvaz's shita. He claims that's the Radvaz's shita.
If you didn't check.
What's that?
Only
if they haven't proven the efficacy after three times.
This one's not because we're each woman, or it could just be like...
Okay. So, Einachanami. Einachanami, that's why... Right. We'll jump ahead. Basically, that's what I think Rav Nevin Sal said to me. I think that was a lumdus of what Rav Nevinzel said to me. Rav Nevinzel said to me when I asked him, I showed him the Radvaz, I showed him Rav Vosner, which we're going to see shortly as well. He said it's different than the Radvaz's case. The case of the Radvaz is an instance where it wasn't something that was developed in laboratories. That was Rav Nevinzel's lashon. And so Rav Moshe is giving the lumdus of what Rav Nevinzel was saying, is that something that was developed in a laboratory that was muchzik over many, many, many times that was tested, and therefore that would be like a potion that in those days wasn't as developed, that the Radvaz says three times. Now you could argue, we have to do a study of what were these birth control potions, how effective they were, and so on and so on. I'm sure that there's someone who's done research into this to know what was it something that was developed in a laboratory or not. But either way, even leaving aside from Evan Sal's Melitza, clearly the efficacy of birth control pills is much stronger today. By the way, I want to emphasize, there are Baruch Hashem, some beautiful people who are born when their parents were using birth control. It's not entirely effective. And it's not entirely effective when it comes to vessels. And more than that, some of my rabbeim were very much against using, they encouraged chasen and kalas to figure out the day of their wedding based on just where her period is right now, and not to rely on birth control pills, because there is something else that comes up, and that is what's called, referred to as breakthrough bleeding. It's not uncommon for a woman when she starts a birth control pill that, and let me just make sure that this is outlined, that the birth control pill says that she's supposed to bleed only 38 days after her last period, and she normally bleeds 29 days after her period, and what happens often is that during this time she doesn't really bleed, but she has a lot of spotting, and those spotting could often be something that will turn her into anida. So one should be aware that in general, birth control, aside from the fact that playing around with a woman's hormones is not always pleasant for her, that also something should be kept in mind. Obviously, these are broader issues. Maybe when we do Chassanim class, we could discuss. Yeah?
Maybe I have a very basic misunderstanding, I guess. Maybe not the case, but I'm just a little confused. But if she misses her vesus kavua 3 times, that's it. Why is she going to be choshish for that same amount of time? I don't care if, like, meaning, why do I need the shrimp to be kavain of the vesus?
Yes, same mode.
Everybody should be okay.
Yes, same mode. I understand what's bothering you. It was bothering me as well. Yeah.
Just to clarify what Remy said, that Rav Nachmanthal said.
Yes.
Rav Nachmanthal would say nowadays, where it's more proven, you wouldn't need to test it 3 times.
That's right. After the first time. So this same discussion that we just had, also, what's that? No. Rav Nachmanthal feels that that birth control pills work, and if the doctor is sure that medically normally, and she has no reason to believe that her vesus that she's an exception to the statistics, then in such a case, then her period is entirely postponed.
Without a bedikah as well.
And that's how, again, unfortunately our Rebbe is not as strong as he used to be, so my conversations with him are a little bit more brief than they used to be as well. So I, you know, used to be that this conversation would be 7-8 sentences. Now it's unfortunately 1 or 2 sentences. He's definitely very clear. We didn't elaborate too much. But again, if you want to send me back to ask to clarify more, that of course is a schus. Okay. Rav Karelitz in the Chutz Shani is much more stringent than the way Rav Sabalovsky and Rav Nevinsal presented, and he gives a bunch of caveats. On page Kuf Lamed Gimel, we'll quickly zip through Rav Nissim's Mahalach. He says as follows. In Aleph, he says, Isha lo kechas kadur mozriko sekiyotzeva kidei le'akov olitzchos es avesta v'yodas mosa yachol vesta al piyashbos hakadur ma'ilu dino kidei le'alon. So he gives us a list of halachos. She'im shimti yimei riyas al piyashbos hakadurim. V'haynu she'ros al gimel pa'amim bizmanim acherim mimash o'ilo kodim hakadurim. So you see, Rav Nissim Karelitz would not agree with the extension of the Radvaz. He would say, the Radvaz wrote 3 times? 3 times! Harei choshesh lo nitaves ha-chadosh, af shelo nikva. So here's the chiddush. This is an answer to your question, Yonatan. Here, your choshesh for the ones chadosha of the birth control pills, even though you didn't have it 3 times. That's the knetch of the Radvaz and the Chutshani. Let me spell this out for everybody now. So now, according to the Radvaz, the way Rav Nissim Karelitz understands it, 3 times her vesus has passed, she's drunk the potion for 3 months, it's been postponed, so now you could follow the potion. Says the Radvaz, you could follow the potion based on what the doctors say, how the potion is supposed to work. You don't need to be koveya the vesus for 3 times. Okay, so let's take our case over here. She stood on the 29th. She's expecting the 29th in Nisan. Okay, she takes her pills or her potion again. We're in the Radvaz, as understood by Rav Nissim Karelitz, and not the halacha according to Rav Nevinsal and the way Rav Sabalovsky presented. So she started in Nisan. She starts taking the pills. So she has ER. She takes her pills during ER as well. And Sivan, and now she's proven that let's say she sees on Rosh Chodesh, okay? So she didn't see on Rosh Chodesh, the pills worked effectively. She didn't see a Rosh Chodesh ER, she didn't see a Rosh Chodesh Sivan. What's the pill normally do? What the pill does is that she sees on the 15th of the month. What it does is that she sees on the 15th of the month. So now, immediately, once she's been ochre these 3 times, thank you, once she's been ochre these 3 times, so then she has the vesus for 15 as long as she considers on the pill. She doesn't need to see, normally, when you change from Rosh Chodesh to Tezvav, you need to see 3 times. So that's how the Radvaz says that once you've proven it 3 times, it's already 15 entirely. That's how the Chutz Shani at least presents in regards to the birth control pills. And you don't have to worry at all about the onaves kodem. Yes? Sure. She normally saw on Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And she didn't see on Rosh Chodesh because she was taking the pill. and she ended, started seeing on different days. This day she saw on the 7th, this day she saw on the 8th, and this day she saw on the 15th.
So
the doctors say that we know that she's from now on going to see on the 15th, because this was breakthrough bleeding or whatever. Okay? So normally, this woman doesn't have a vessels for 15 at all. She just uprooted her Rosh Chodesh. Even Rav Karelis, who's more machmir and says that just because the doctor says it's going to happen on the 15th, we don't trust him, you need to be oker the vessels 3 times of Rosh Chodesh, not like what Rav Nevinzal said, that immediately if the doctor says, you don't have to be chosh for Rosh Chodesh. Here, according to Rav Karelis, you need to be choshesh for Nisan, you need to be chodesh for Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and you need to be choshesh for Rosh Chodesh Sivan. But once you were okay that, immediately you have a new vesas. Now this is really, really important. And that is, that according to everybody, once the birth control pills reaches its efficacy, whether it reaches its efficacy due to the power of the factories that Rav Nevinzal says it happens immediately, or it works because 3 times you were okay the previous vesas, then you have a major kula. You know what the major kula is? She now has a vesas kavua due to her pill. And therefore you don't have to be choshesh for haflaga, you don't have to be you just have to be choshesh for the time that the doctor says her period is going to come. Okay? I don't know. Not necessarily. In other words, Rav Nevinzal says the Radvaz started us off, and the Radvaz gave us reshus to be able to say that it has the koach to work, and that's the halach of Ochloshum, and now we go when we take it a step further. Yes, Yisro?
What about a Beth Sheena Kula, who doesn't have the Beth Rosh Chodesh?
It doesn't matter. You still need 3 times according to the Radvaz. According to the Radvaz, you would still need 3 times.
It doesn't need to work out.
Because we need to show... We need to show that it didn't fall on her expected time. So if it was a Vesa She'ena Kavua, she would be expected to have it every 20 days. She had an Eina Kavua for 20 days. So now the 20th came, and she didn't see. She saw on the 22nd due to the potion. Yeah?
And she doesn't need to see on the same amount of time. Nachon? 3 days.
Nachon. Nachon.
She needs to not see the previous.
Right. Right. You know, you could argue that in our case, if she saw on the 7th and the 8th, so why? The answer is that if the doctors say that it's going to work, because and they give an explanation that it was breakthrough bleeding or something like that, then that would be enough. Let's continue on reading Rav Karelitz's rules. We're on the second column on page Kuflam Gimel. V'shuv eina choshes lon neveshoi lakolim sheishtani meiriyas alidei kedur meilum. V'amna This is very, very important as well. What's her status when she stops taking the pills? She immediately goes back to her old Vesas Kavua. Obviously, if it was an Eina Kavua, she's not. But if it was a Kavua, she does. V'dash isha nal hamaschel slika kadurim tzvicha lochosh levesa kodem shayel ofne lekichas kadurim af shayel vesa she'eina kavua. That addresses your question. I might have argued that she has a din of hosa b'machva, and that is when a woman undergoes a dramatic change. We learned in Kuf Pei Dalit, she don't have to follow Vesa Sheina Kavua. So that would be an interesting kula. Rav Karel says no, you need 3 times, and up until those 3 times, you're choshesh for her Veses regularly. Okay. And then he talks about the kala. Skip down to Beis.
When would it be from the last Re'iyah because of the filler from what it should have been had she not taken pills? Meaning, if she was supposed
to... You mean the first 3 times? How are you choshesh? The first 3 times, you ignore what the pill says it's going to do. Your choshesh is if it's a woman that wasn't taking a pill, up until she was ochre 3 times, and then the pill speaks.
So meaning, after she took the pill the first time, she ended up, if she was supposed to see on Rosh Chodesh, and she saw on the 15th.
Now you're going to do all the... You'll be choshesh for an Eina Kavua. She's a woman with a Vesa Sheina Kavua. So then she just continues making her Kavua the same way a woman who didn't take the pill. Up until we ignore the pill, according to the Radvaz, for the first 3 times.
My question is, if she had a Haflaga Kavua beforehand, of 30, let's say, And then, so she was supposed to have seen on Seiros Chodesh this month, because that was 30 days. And then because of the pill, she's on the 15th. So now is the next Hafaga she's Chosheshet for from, like, Rosh Chodesh, or from the 15th that she saw now?
It's the same, it would be the, that's the discussion we had in Rishonim. However we paskin, whenever she changes her ear from Vesas Kavua, if she's Makdim her ear or something like that, would be the exact same thing. It's as if the pill is not taking into Cheshbon until after the 15th of Sivan. We ignore it. All this period of time is as if she's a regular woman, whether she has a Vesas Kavua or Vesas She'eino Kavua. Yeah, Avram.
The reason why she's on the 15th in this case is because she stopped taking the pill?
What's that?
She's
continued taking the pill, and the doctor says we're quite sure. You know what? Let's do it even better over here. She saw to have it even. This will probably be much more accurate. The doctors say that we're going to get her regulated. It's going to take a little bit of time, and she's going to start seeing on the 15th of the month. And one month she saw on the 14th, and the other month she saw on the 13th, and then she saw on the 15th. The doctor said, now she's regulated.
She would see every 15th.
And then she would see every 15th. The Yehoshesh only Vesas Kavua on the 15th. I was just making things complicated because breakthrough bleeding sometimes happens, but usually this is how it's going to work. The doctor is going to move it over, and with the goal of getting it regulated, let's say for the 15th of the month.
So you mentioned that the Kiddush of Karelis was that you have a Vesas Kavua being uprooted. So in a normal situation, so she wouldn't be Choshesh for the new Re'iyah. Right? Meaning she had a Vesas Kavua.
Correct. And she was old Kareh.
And here you are.
That's right. Nachon.
So, she had a Vesas Kavua, Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh. And then she saw on the 15th.
Right.
So you're saying that the next month.
And then she was on a pill for 7 months. And she saw on the 15th. And she stops the pill. Rav Karela says she has a Vesas Kavua for Rosh Chodesh.
Meaning she goes back to the original?
She goes back to the original. Because she has a Vesas Kavua.
Yeah. Change.
That was only due to the Achla Shum. It was only due to the Achla Shum.
So now she's going to be seeing it every 3 days from there, from the 15th.
But you know that all the time when you have a Vesas Kavua, that it could be that there was an aberration, but you're still Choshesh for the Vesas Kavua, despite the fact that the previous month there was an aberration. There's no different than Achla Shum. So you fall back to that state. Oh, back to the case of the Kala. On the bottom of page Kuflam Gimel, Shekishachal Lelachupa Bonus Avesis, Af Bebesa Sheino Kavua, here's the Nafkamina La'alocha, Asur L'chosun L'kal Lismoch Al-Kadur Mamon Medochas Kabos Avesis, Mibnei Shekol Ot Shelo Huchsuk Esel Shemeshan Sessal Adei Kabdur Melu, Harei Choshesh Zilvesta Harogiu. So this is the Rav Karelitz is Machmir. And what's his logic? Is as we said, until she proves it three times, the Radvaz was not. Again, that's the all Nichlal in Rav Sabalovsky's one word. Whatever Rav Sabalovsky meant, or my friend David, when he put this to David Shapiro, when he put it together, what did they mean in this one word? That if the drink effectively regulated the woman's cycle. What does the Radvaz mean? The Radvaz means you need three times. So they're assuming that birth control pill is different, but Rav Karela says no. What we have is the Radvaz, and that's what we follow. Okay, I just want to show you that Rav Ozner himself is Makel. Rav Nevensal confirmed that he thinks you could be Makel like Rav Ozner's psak. There are two plays Rav Ozner discusses in the Shevet Alevi. One on page Lamed Gimel. By the way, I sometimes give you the wrong page in the Shevet Alevi because my pages at home is a different pagination. You notice that? It's a simon that he's really chasing down the Mayer Makomos. My Shevet Alevi at home is different than the Shevet Alevi of the Beis Medrash. Anyhow, so the Beis Medrash's edition is page Lama Gil. At home it's page Lama Beis. He tells us one thing about the Kadurim there. He basically quotes the Radvaz. And then in Kuf Mem Ches, and actually Reforth calls Rav Ozner out on it. On Kuf Mem Ches, Rav Ozner is Makel, like we said, from Rav Nevensal. Valokos kadurim l'mnias havesas, gon kalos, kuf memches libar masl valokos, valokos kadurim l'mnias havesas, gon kalos, imyadum shemashbim ein sarech lachish. So once we know it works, and so therefore there is a machlokis in Bnei Brak, between the two giants of poskim of Hilchos Nida, of whether birth control pills already could automatically be Oker of SS. Reforce asks, as a kasha, but the Radvaz doesn't say it. That's what Reforce says. It says a little bit of a tzarachiyun on Rav Ozma, how could it go so far? So the answer must be, as Rav Nevinsel said, that we have to say that the pills today have more efficacy than that potion, and we're following on the shoulders of the giant. We're not disagreeing with the giant. We're extending what the giant said. The Radvaz told us that has a din of achila shum, and once he says that has a din of achila shum, by the way, the Radvaz doesn't say that explicitly. The later poskim, Rav Vozner, Rav Karelitz, and the others say has a din of achila shum. So then we say so then different achila shum have different powers, and this one has a stronger power. Okay. Last topic. What's that? Absolutely. Not only that.
Afterwards, I mean, when she stops the pill.
That was what we discussed. We said that once she stops the pill, everybody agrees. Here, I think everybody would be Rev Karelitz. She goes immediately back to her old vessels. And if she had a vessels kavua, she meets. So then she choshesh on the last three as a vessels ainu kavua. Okay. Rabotai, this is a really hard sif. Sif chav zayin. How many people want to do it now? And in many ways, it's actually a very convenient place to stop. We could stop with Sif Chav Zayin right now, and next year we'll do, because Chav Zayin is a new topic, and that is the Mishnah on Zayin on the base. You know what, I'll start us off, but we won't do the Sif itself, unless Talmidim tell me we should. The Mishnah tells us on Dav Zayin on the base. This was one of our questions on the Rekha of the Bechina, that there are, in general, women, we say, that Kol HaNashim, we say that we assume that they bleed, and therefore we have to be choshesh that if they find blood, that it's from previously, that the blood was from 24 hours. However, the Mishnah says, but there are four women who are exception, that they're Dayoshaita. And now, what we're going to discuss are those women who are different. Dayoshaita then means that, in that Gemara, that only when you find it, you have to be choshesh that she bled. And here we discuss that these women have a din, a mesulekes damin. These women, a naira, a zakena, a muberes, that's our last three cases and how Siman Kuf Pei Tes concludes. Naira, zakena, muberes, these are women who we don't expect them to have a period. If we don't expect them to have a period, so then in such a case, we're much more lenient with them when it comes to their Vestas. Okay, you agree with me we should stop over here and continue on Monday with it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Maisha? I didn't know. To give an opinion. No opinion. Most Talmidim agree? Yeah. We should stop? Okay. Beis Hashem, we'll continue in Beis Hashem Monday. So that's it. My goal is on Monday to finish up Siman Kuf Pei Tes. I think we should make a big siyum. It's an amazing, amazing thing. B'li Ayin Hara, we read, I think, catch me if I'm wrong. Yeah, I think we did. I think I read it. I was about to brag that I think we read every single word of Shulchan Aruch. My goal, Be'ezer Hashem, once upon a time I wanted to read almost all Beis Yosef. That's not Shaykh. But my goal, Be'ezer Hashem, is to read every word of Shulchan Aruch. So if you say we missed Chafei Chavav, I'll try to. I think you're right. You are right. So Mir Tashem will start with Chafei. By the way, keep on reminding me. No, I think it's fine. But we'll pick up. Keep on. By the way, if you notice there's something I missed, call me out on it because I really want it at least to have done. We'll do that. Beis Hashem, I hope to do. Actually, we did a shout out for Lamed Beis because Lamed Beis, we spoke about that if a woman has a chash for Rosh Chodesh, that doesn't mean she shouldn't be choshesh for Tes Vav B'Chodesh. And that means if she saw earlier on Rosh Chodesh, but originally she thought she should be Chosesh for Tetzvah B'Chodesh, so we saw last time that she has to be Chosesh both Rosh Chodesh and Tetzvah B'Chodesh because of Sif Lamed Beis. So we gave a shout out to Sif Lamed Beis. Mirtz Hashem, I hope to finish Kuf Pei Tes. And then we're going to go to the halachos of Dam, related to what the married fellows are doing Shimoshin in terms of Maros Hadam. We're going to go to Kuf Pei Ches. And then Be'ezer Hashem, Kuf Sadi, we'll go to Ksamim, and then we'll have our second Bechina. So our second Bechina will be Kuf Pei Tes, Kuf Pei Ches, and Kuf Sadi, and the last Bechina will be the rest of Hilchos Nida and Tevila. I don't know if I'm going to be able to read every word of Shulchan Aruch for Hilchos Tevila. That I'm not sure, but we'll see.
I have a Neitz Chanukah.
The Bechina Be'ezer Hashem it'll be in a good month and a half. A month and a half, Be'ezer Hashem. The second Bechina will be a month and a half. Start doing Chazara even before we allot Chazara time, because I don't know how much Chazara time we're going to have. But again, the Bechina style will be similar to last one, and I'll give a choice of the questions, and I understand the Vestos are difficult, and I don't plan to, it's not a gotcha type of thing. Okay, beautiful, and we shall have many simchas in our chabura. Thank you, Hashem.